Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Also, you can send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeyes@hotmail.com. Wow, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners for all your support, past 630,000 downloads of the podcast. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. Could not have done that without your support. I really appreciate it. I hope you have enjoyed the shows and shared with friends and family. Again, just want to say thank you to you for that. This month is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, so please make sure that you're getting your checkups at your doctor. And don't ignore symptoms or things that are going on in your body. Please bring them up to your PCP and try to take care of them as soon as possible, because you can survive, but if you wait too long, that's the problem. Well, this morning I'm speaking with a designer, an entrepreneur, a philanthropist. He has so many things going on. Just to let you know, some of his projects, or I would say, we'll say shoes, Picasso's, have been seen on Halle Berry, Beyonce, Tyra Banks, Iman, Chris Tucker, Danny Glover. He's been featured in Ebony and Jet, GQ, Essence. He's been honored by Burger King's Everyday Heroes National Campaign. He's been recognized by Ebony Magazine's 30 Leaders of the Future. Crane's New York Small Business of the Year, Project Enterprise Entrepreneur of the Year, Black Enterprise Rising Star, and I could go on. But good morning, E2 Evans.
Good morning, good morning.
Thank you so much again for agreeing to do the interview today. I love what you're doing with your Soulsville Foundation.
Thank you so much.
So let's start at the beginning. Well, let's start with your name, E2. Does that have a meaning? I was reading something about that meaning sun, but I'm not sure. Is that the meaning that you know about? Or
actually, it means chosen by God in Samoan. But I also found out that it means the father of all fabrics in West Africa.
Wow. Look at that. Is that like... Wow, and look at what industry you're in. You know, you're making shoes and the fashion and style industry and handbags. That is, and when did you find out about the West African
meeting? About 3 years ago when I interviewed for the African, because I do a lot of work in Africa for Soulsville.
Yes. So, wow, that's so telling. So now where did this, you know, obsession with shoes come? Because you didn't start off as a cobbler, so to speak. You were a social work major in school. Talk to me about this transition.
Actually, I studied fashion design and merchandising in school, but
okay.
It was a very
okay.
small department. But I've been designing as long as I can remember. I was actually a marketing major, but there were some transitioning happening within the marketing department that didn't really sit well with me in terms of accreditation. So I said, I'll help people and continue my passion of design. And I actually put myself through undergrad at SC State by doing interior design, and I had a mobile floral company. So on the weekends, I would come back to New York and on holidays, and I would just basically design homes and do floral arrangements up and down the Eastern Boardwalk.
Mm.
And then I designed hats for a show for BET, and two publicists began to fight over those two designs. And then I got recognized for my hats. And then while a student at Columbia University, I just needed a break. So I sat on my stoop, and I saw that the stoop, a part of it, was sort of chipped. And I actually made an earring from that chipped piece of the stoop. And about a week later, I was asked to do a show at Saudi's for Ben Vereen. And about maybe 2 months after that, I was commissioned to do Iman's birthday jewelry. And the story unfolds. But my love for shoes started with my grandmother. She would actually sit me on a canopy bed and always ask me what pair of shoes to wear. So naturally, my eye was always drawn to beautiful women because my grandmother is beautiful. And the whole movement of shoes, I mean, the top of her ceiling, it looked like the A-train connected. It was shoe boxes that would connect all around the room.
Oh my God.
Cascading off the dresser. The hats were stacked in the corner. So I was always very interested because I grew up on shoes and accessories. But, you know, there are not many places where you can actually make shoes initially. So I started deconstructing my grandfather's shoes, and I would walk around in those shoes. Even though they were too big for me, I would take them apart, see how they worked. I would color them. And pretty much that's my obsession of shoes. And as I began to mature, I was always interested in human behavior. I learned that in China they would bind the foot. That fascinated me. You know, in the earlier centuries, certain shoes were banned because they resembled a phallic symbol. Shoes could be creative.
Yeah.
They could be comforting. They can also be sort of taboo. And in that earlier century, that's what we discovered. And
well, one of the things I read is that you also studied at Parsons, which is a very prestigious design school in New York, further your studies of it. What made you decide, again, now you kind of went full circle. You started, you know, with the Bay Area, then you went to design, and then you came back to helping people even at a wider scale with Soulsville. Talk to the audience about what is Soulsville and what's the mission and what you've been doing with that foundation.
I created Soulsville, and that's SOLESVILLE. Our mission is to save souls one step at a time. So every night at midnight, I believe God had compelled me to go out with my shopping cart and collect shoes. And everybody says, where are you going to find shoes? But there will always be a ton of shoes for me to discover and load up. And then I would refurbish those shoes. For about 15 years, I had a shoe repair shop and a boutique in Harlem on 135th Street. And those shoes I would donate to first-time job seekers, career gear, bottomless closet, as well as men who were coming, you know, transitioning from prison.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our mission, and then I began to distribute them throughout Africa, the Caribbean, and South America. So Soulsville primarily focuses on two things. The first is shoe drives and international distribution, and the second thing that we do is we focus and serve as a siren for pediatric AIDS and awareness.
Awesome, awesome. There is definitely a need. We always need people looking out for the young people. I think that's so important. And then you also engage young people in the organization, correct? You teaching them the skills?
Well, we started doing that initially, but now the demand for shoes is so great that my primary focus is to really help people put their best foot forward and to get shoes on their feet and to make sure that they are protecting their bodies as well. And what we do to that end, to help, instead of doing the full apprentice program, what I do is I conduct creative workshops for young people, and I challenge them to use their minds, because I think a lot of people, young kids these days are distracted, and they don't really think. So I really love thinkers and people to move beyond traditional boundaries. So I give them shoe boxes, shoes, paint, and recyclable materials, and I do this exhibition that's called Sole Out, S-O-L-E. And then they actually make money off of their work, and some goes back to SoSil. And it's a wonderful opportunity for them to display their creativity and to practice their oratorical skills.
What gives you the courage to go out and be this entrepreneur and this innovator in this field? I mean, it seems risky. What gives you this courage? Where do you get that from?
Well, I pray a lot. Being an entrepreneur is not for everyone, but it's rewarding when you can really see your ideas come to life. And part of the excitement is really very much just that, being able to conceive something, birth it, and see people respond to it, and it moves. So, and I think really entrepreneurs, they stimulate the economy. I've read several articles over the past 3 weeks that this movement of entrepreneurship is vital in moving the economy forward.
Now, you're working on a new project that you emailed me about. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, The Republic of Style. Tell us about that, and what is that? When is the beginning, and where can we hear you, and so on and so forth?
Well, E2 Evans, The Republic of Style, I'm actually taping the pilot on Monday at WBLS. That's 107.5 FM. And The Republic of Style is a concept that I can see that is very different for radio. Basically, the concept is reality TV on radio. In the past, radio, we would use basically the theater of the mind. We would hear it audibly and then try to imagine what we were hearing. But with The Republic of Style, it's like a live broadcast. As I'm speaking, you can tune in to the website, WBLS.com, and you can learn the latest trends, how to put your looks together, see who's wearing the black and white. You know, does the high slit work for you? What are the new textures? How long has Chevron been on the scene? So my segment is focused on three particular areas, fashion and beauty, and fashion and beauty, home and interiors, and the last segment is empowerment. So the whole concept is look good, live good, and feel good.
What fabrics do you like to work with? And what colors do you like to work with in your shoes?
Well, all of my shoes have purple bottoms. I do men and women's. So purple is definitely my favorite color. But
and then
love
you have
the
dog also, the greyhound.
The greyhound,
right?
is the logo. And you can't, so you, the bright green, you can't miss. Everybody knows that it's me. But I don't have allegiance to just one color.
Okay.
I definitely look at what trend is in terms of color. Currently, the going color for the season is emerald green, so you have to do a little bit of that. But I'm an out-of-the-box thinker, so I love combining various materials and skins. Right now,
and then you also do bags, too.
Ostrich claw. Yes, tons of bags.
Okay.
I do footwear and accessories. Actually, the jewelry that you saw in Living Single, a lot of that was mine. I've done jewelry for Eric Benet, for a host of people, all the Puffy's groups, The Wire. So footwear and accessories, I would say, is definitely my trademark.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn about how to make shoes, I mean, they can't be you because you have a unique vision. But there's a young person out there, maybe a parent or aunt, uncle, saying, well, you know, my kid, I think they have an interest. Where do they start to get on the right path, to get on the right track?
I would recommend that they either speak with a professor at the Parsons School of Design or FIT, the fashion, FIT on 28th Street.
Okay.
I would say both. It depends on how they want to approach it. I graduated from FIT because they have a matriculated program. I started at Parsons, but Parsons only has one particular class. So you just repeat that class. So if you really want to get heavily involved, I would say you get a degree. I believe knowledge is power. I already had a star-studded portfolio before going to school, but I just believe in credentializing oneself.
Yes.
I did that, and I would recommend it to anyone, because once you have it in your head, no one can take it away from you. Don't leave loopholes. Become an expert in what you're passionate about, and let the passion. I believe prosperity follows passion.
Yeah, I think that you hear that all the time when you read like self-help books or innovators or entrepreneurs are talking about, well, this was something that kept me up at night. I couldn't get out of my head. Everywhere I looked, it's something related to my dream or this path.
Yes.
And that's what drew them. And when you're working in that type of energy with that type of spirit, then there's not, it's like a synergy happens with things around you, the people you start meeting, the path. It just somehow opens up to you because that's where you're supposed to be,
What you focus on.
I mean, has that been your experience? Yeah.
Yes, what you focus on, you become. I would say when I was younger, I was labeled as having a learning disability.
Mm.
And I really believe that sometimes, and what I've learned as an educator, because I graduated from Columbia with a 4.0, is that there are different learning styles. And
right.
I actually won it's called the Purple Boot Initiative. It's a mentoring program. So I've taken my plight as sort of being labeled a slow learner and how to, move through those emotional pitfalls that all kids experience. And I've turned it into a mode of learning and empowerment for black and brown boys in middle school. And we're actually in 3 states now. So it's really important. I really want them to, identify the passion and then reinforce it. And I think that's where a lot of young people get off track. They feel no one believes in them. Nobody understands what they're thinking. It's too crazy. How do you do it? My mom, she's a brilliant woman. She said you graduated with a 4.0 from an Ivy League institution. Why would you stop and do shoes?
Right, exactly. But you were passionate. Like I said, that's what drew you. It's something like you just cannot get out of your head. And I said the word obsession earlier because that's what you have to have. As you eat, drink, sleep this path. Of course, you can't just, I wouldn't say, eat, drink, sleep rubber bands, but then somebody dreamed about rubber bands. Somebody dreamed about paper clips. Somebody dreamed about the stapler. I mean, these are products that we take for granted, but somebody had to think about them, And I think the key thing there you talked about is different learning styles. That's so important. The problem is I think our public education system, the teachers don't have the support to pick that out. People are audio. Some people are tactile. Some people are visual. So there's all these different ways of learning, but the school systems don't have the resources or the time to really tap into that. And then kids get labeled. And then they keep that label with them forever until somebody like you or another entrepreneur, but somebody also that looks like them, that's so important. That's so key.
Yes.
Another,
I was amazed that a lot of the boys in the Purple Boot Initiative, they said that they've never even seen men of color wear ties that they know.
Mm.
That was shocking to me. Yes.
Look at that.
And where I actually conduct the program in Harlem is one of the number one prison feeders for the state. People have no idea what it takes for these boys just to make it to school. Some of them made shanks just to protect themselves to get to the program. So I've been to court. But I'm pleased to say that a lot of them were actually suspended for half of the school year. But by the time the school year ended, they were the number one test takers on the standardized exams. So there is hope. And a lot of that has to do with combining creativity and learning, together.
Well, I always, the arts saved me. I would say the arts, I went to a performing arts elementary school, and the arts saved me, and I think that's another tap into it. It can create discipline in a kid. It can create focus in a kid. It can also, it's just an outlet for the emotions that they're dealing with, and especially if you're dealing with an environment where your parent has shanked the school because you're afraid you're going to get jumped. Or basically coerced into maybe joining a gang or dealing drugs. Or also even closer to home, your home life. You know, a lot of kids have a lot of conflict in their home lives, and it can be very difficult for them. Let me, we have a caller here. Let me just take this caller. Good morning.
Sure.
You're calling from 302 area code?
Yes, Penny Marshall checking in. I will.
Okay,
call
hi,
back.
Penny.
Hi,
okay, well,
how are you this morning? Okay.
I'm good. I'm good. Hold on. We'll get to you in about 10 minutes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That was my next guest calling in. But
okay.
I just want to say that, you know, the arts are so important and they're being cut. But I had dance, I had theater, I had visual art, I had music, I used to play the flute. That just opened my mind to so many ideas. And then I'm also a geek, so you can combine it. It's not like you have to be an artist and then you can't be a geek or techie person.
Yes.
You can combine all
exactly.
of those. You can be an entrepreneur like yourself. Like you said, you got your credentials. That was important. You needed that foundation. And then you were able to branch out and expand through the arts.
That's correct.
So now tell us, you're going to be on the air on Monday. What time again?
Well, we actually are doing the taping, the pilot on Monday.
Oh, the taping. Okay.
So I would imagine probably within the next 2.5 weeks that we should go live. That's what I'm thinking at this point. It's looking good.
So where do you see yourself in, like, say, 10 years from now? Where is E2 Evans going to be? What's he going to be doing?
I see myself having a number of flagship stores, New York, London, also selling to high-end retailers like Bergdorf, Harrods in London, Colette. I see myself expanding Soulsville,
mm-hmm.
Setting up clinics in Africa, the Caribbean, South America, really expanding on what I'm doing. I would love to open a charter school, a prep school for black and brown boys of color.
Wow,
In mm-hmm. New York, Philadelphia, Detroit, over the South. I believe I'm called to be a catalyst for change and to do it through design and empowering people. I believe in human capital. So that's where I see myself. I see myself also having a number of books, which I am in the process of penning. And I just see myself finally finding the wife and getting a family going and just touching people through what I do and making a difference.
I can see it. I can see it as you're talking. I can visualize it, and that's the key. One of the things I think are important for children is visualizing their future.
Yes.
And some things that I know have helped is vision boards. But also, again, going back to seeing somebody that looks like them successful, seeing somebody like them that is making it in the world. And, you know, I'm sure you have challenges, but you figure out ways to overcome them and continue to move forward. And as I mentioned earlier, that the road opens up for you. When you're on the right
yes.
path, it just opens up. It looks like it's so easy. You're like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous how easy this is. Because
yes.
that's where you were supposed to be, you know. That's
exactly.
where you're supposed to be. Well, when you write this book, you have to come back on the show so we can talk about the book.
Absolutely. It'll be my
okay.
pleasure.
Well, I want to mention that your website is e2evans.org. That's E-T-U-E-V-A-N-S.org. You can check him out there, see his designs for women, for men, check out information about Soulsville, the Purple Boot Initiative. Now, if somebody wanted you to bring the workshop, they can contact you, right? Right on the website,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I speak all over the place. I used to open up for Les Brown, but I'm pretty much active on the circuit in terms of lecturing
mm-hmm.
and doing workshops, so... there's a contact page also at e2evans.org where people can
okay,
reach
Okay, wonderful.
Me.
Wonderful. And when you open that flagship, I need an invite.
Well, definitely.
I need an invite so I can come.
Absolutely.
All right, well, good luck with everything that you're working on. I can see the charter schools. I can see the clinics in Africa. I can see the books. So I wish you the best.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
You have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
You too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with E2 Evans, a shoe designer, entrepreneur, accessory designer, speaker, innovator. Check him out, e2evans.org. That's E-T-U-E-V-A-N-S.org. Check out his styles. Or also ask him to come to your school or community organization to speak to young men about potential to be an entrepreneur, excuse me, to be a designer. This is what they need. They need to see somebody that looks like them and that is successful. That is so key. If you don't see it, you just don't believe it. You really don't, you know, because I know there are images of positive images on TV and the media nowadays, more so than there have been. But face-to-face, someone that can shake your hand that you actually met, yeah, I think it really gives the young kids hope on what is possible in their lives. And that is really important for all people to have hope. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Stay tuned. I'll be speaking with Penny Marshall about the Harriet Tubman Journey events that are coming up. It's the 100th anniversary of her death. So you can call in for that, 646-929-0368. That's coming up in about 4 minutes, so stay tuned.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.